Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, the show can be contagious.
Hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a live one for you tonight. I am very, very excited about this show. We've been preparing for this show, as we do most of our shows, but this particular one is a very, very good show. And we're going to come to you, we're going to bring it on tonight. And I'm certainly looking forward to it. And I'm excited about it. We're at the top of the hour, and just before we get deep into the show, I'm going to go ahead and welcome Ms. Diana Booker, all the way from Davenport, Florida. Those of you all that may have been listening to the broadcast, Ms. Booker is fighting breast cancer. It has returned, and she's going to just give us some brief information on she's soliciting funds at GoFundMe.com, and she's got some exciting news to share with us this evening about some events that took place today, and I'm very excited for her, and she's going to go ahead and give us that information. Ms. Booker, welcome to the show this evening, and just before I bring in my co-host, we're going to go ahead and welcome you and give you an opportunity to present your concern out there and let people know what's going on with you. Ms. Booker, you're on the air live. All right, well, we're missing that. Let me go ahead, perhaps something came up where there's technical difficulty. Let me go ahead now, and let me just say this here. Once again, Diana Booker is fighting breast cancer, and I've given her an opportunity to come use my program as an open forum for her to discuss this. In addition to that, she's seeking funding. You can simply go to GoFundMe.com/HelpDianaFightCancer. You can certainly go to HelpFundMe.com and /HelpDianaFightCancer. For more information, you can contact me at this broadcast, and I will give you more information. You can call 954-367-6766. All right, now we're going to go right into tonight's broadcast with my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake. Ms. Blake, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Thank you for joining us.
Hello, Dr. Walker. I'm excited about tonight's show.
And so am I. I am certainly looking forward to it. We got a very special guest. She goes by the name of Selena. So we're going to be bringing her in momentarily. For those of you all that may not know, and some of you all that may be new to the broadcast tonight, Ms. Blake is the author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement. And tell us a little bit about your book, your new book, and how people can contact you just before we go into the broadcast tonight.
I'll keep it short, but I will say it is snowing here in Atlanta. I thought I left Ohio.
Well,
we have quite a bit of snow on the ground, but nothing in comparison to the Midwest, of course.
Uh-huh.
Just keep everybody in prayer because people are not quite sure how to drive in this. Yes. But I am the author of two books, Falling in Love with Me and Dying to Wake Up, and I'm a motivational speaker and certified life coach. And to find out more information, just go check out my website at fosteringleaders.org, or you can give me a call at 770 866-2162. That's it. Let's do the show.
Okay. All right. Let's go ahead. And this young lady, I'm very excited to get her on the air. We're going to go all the way to, I'm not sure where this is, but we're going to find out momentarily. Ms. Felina, welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You are on the air live. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me.
We are so excited to have you on the broadcast tonight. We're going to get to the story in just a moment. But tell my listening audience a little bit about yourself, just briefly, if you would, about 20 seconds or less, and so they'll know why you are our featured guest this evening.
Okay, I live in Virginia. I just turned 50 last year, and I am living life to the fullest. There's so much out there to explore, and I'm having a good time being single all over again.
Okay, a good time being single all over again. That means you were once married, I take it, or in a long-term relationship. Which is it?
I was married I was married for a long time, and
okay.
I decided to end the marriage based on what I've been going through, and that is being in a relationship by myself. I didn't have any support.
Okay. All right, then we're going to get right to our story tonight.
I'd just like to welcome our guest to the show.
Right. And go ahead,
have you on tonight.
Okay. Felina, did you hear? That's my co-host, Ms. Blake.
Yes.
Okay.
Welcome to
all
the
right.
show.
Thank you. How are you?
Okay. All right, we're going to get right to the story. We want to thank all of you all for joining us on tonight's broadcast. For the record, of course, this show does not have all the answers. But together with your help, I can assure you, we will find some answers that may prove beneficial to your relationship. Now, as always, the opinions that are expressed from my guests or other participants do not necessarily reflect the opinions that are from this host. Furthermore, the opinions expressed here and throughout tonight's broadcast are merely those of my own and those of my guests and co-hosts and other participants. Now, tonight's dialogue should not be perceived as a replacement or a substitute for the appropriate licensed, certified, or professional help in the appropriate field. Now, the information, as always, that is presented is for educational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Tonight's story, Neville and Olinda. Neville and Olinda. Now, prior to getting married, Neville was warned that his fiancée, Olinda, was the kind of woman that always made it about herself. His friends who knew her, as well as select family members who really liked Neville, tried desperately to tell him about Olinda. Now, this was his friend, her friends and her family members were trying to tell him. In spite of all the warning signs, after dating her for just over a year, the couple married, and within 2 years, they were headed back to the courthouse, trying to dissolve what turned out to be a nightmare of a marriage. Now, at age 42, this is Neville's second marriage and the first marriage for Olinda, who is 41 years old and has never had any children. Neville insisted he had never in his life met anyone that comes close to Olinda and her selfish ways. He can't understand for the life of him what he was thinking as he ignored all the warning signs. Now, here are some of those challenges he faced with Olinda. You really want to get this. Here are some of the challenges that he faced with her. One, when it came to effective communications in their marriage, she seldom, if ever, gave fair share of time for Neville to express his views on anything that was bothering him about the marriage. So he never got any time to express his views. Number two, she is extremely high maintenance and materialistic. Number three, she has very expensive tastes in spite of the fact that their combined gross income is $45,000 annually and living in a very expensive city. Number four, she does not seem to have any concerns for the future in terms of saving. She only desires to live in the moment. Number five, in their two-year marriage, she has yet to buy Neville a non-occasion gift, yet she is always, and I mean always, and yes, always expecting a weekly gift of some sort from him. And last two, she expects to be wined and dined weekly, even if the bills aren't fully paid. Now, when she contributes to an on a minimum basis and spends most of her money on makeup and clothing for herself. Finally, she seldom cooks or cleans the house and expects Neville to work not only his two jobs, but also expects him to make sure he has money to have her feet, nails, and hair done at least once a week at the most expensive place in town. Now, Neville is at the point, in spite of his love for her, he simply cannot afford to be married to her any longer. It's not only keeping them broke, it is stressing him out. He has concluded that he is in a one-sided relationship. And we have several questions, and we're going to start off tonight with one. Would you view this as a one-sided relationship? If so, why or why not? And I'm going to start out by asking my co-host momentarily, and we want to say to all of you all, please don't go away. There is more to come right now, right here live on the Dr. Jessica Show, with our topic, of course, for this evening. Should you stay in a one-sided relationship? Ms. Blake, here it is. Here it is. Would you view this as a one-sided relationship?
It definitely does sound like it. Most definitely.
Why? Okay, why or why not?
Well, you know, I wrote the book, Mutual Enhancement. And so relationships are all about me. That sounds like a oxymoron, but ME stands for mutual enhancement. And it doesn't sound like he's getting any enhancement out of the marriage or the relationship.
All right. Let me go to my my featured guest this evening, Miss Alina. Would you say that this is a one-sided relationship? And if so, what makes it one-sided?
It's taking me back into my situation. I can relate to the husband. It is one-sided because it's all about her and it's nothing about him. All she wants is to make sure that she gets what she needs and not thinking about his needs. And I was in the same situation, and it's very unhappy, very miserable. There's so much that a person can take if you always trying to make ends meet or you're trying to keep a roof over your head, or you're just trying to be the person and keep it together while the other person just sit back and enjoy what the other person is dishing out. So it is one-sided.
Okay. Let me ask you, didn't he see these things? I mean, he was warned about all of this stuff. Do you think he clearly ignored the warning signs?
I think we all do because we're trying to change the person to what we want them to be. And in my situation, I saw the signs, but I choose to ignore it, hoping that if I continue to be that supportive wife to do my wifely duties, then maybe he will change and realize that he has a good woman.
Okay, what were some of the signs that you saw? And, of course, if there's anything you want to bypass that might bring, you know, pain to you, you can certainly just say you'll bypass that. What were some of the signs that you saw in your marriage that, you know, you saw before marriage?
In the beginning, it was all peaches and cream. I guess start off you try to impress somebody to get them to love you, to get them to accept you, and then all of a sudden you see things that you didn't see before. I saw the signs, but I just ignored it, hoping that, like I said, he would change. But I was warned. I had it right in front of me, but I ignored it, took the chance, hoping that he can change. But it didn't happen that way. It got worse.
Okay, how long were you married? And was this your first marriage, only marriage?
This is my second marriage. We lived together for 7 years, and then we got married, and then 11 years together, being husband and wife. So I've been total almost 18, 17 years being together total.
Okay, all right. Wow, we're going to come back to you. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walk Show. If you're just joining us, of course, I have my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake. Author Falling in Love with Me, and, of course, we have Miss Alina, who's our featured guest this evening. So, of course, if you want to speak to the to our featured guest. If you want to speak to the issue of the story, tonight's story, certainly you can press 1 at any time on your dial and we'll get to you. We're going to go to Ms. Blake. Was there a question that you wanted to ask before we go to some of the other questions or before we go to the phone line?
Well, one of the things our special guest just noted that you did live together for a period of time prior to the marriage, and certainly we don't want to get too personal, but if you feel free to share. I often talk about the fact that we really don't know people until we live with them. So do you feel that you any of this when you were living together, or did it change after you said I do?
It changed when I said I do.
Okay. That's interesting.
It changed after you said, I mean, 7 years together, I mean, you saw probably, I mean, we like to keep it real on this show. You, in 7 years, nobody can camouflage that much. You're going to see something, but sometimes, and I understand love can blind you. It can really blind you.
Yes, it could.
You know,
and I was blind.
You were blind. Okay.
I was blind. I couldn't see.
But wasn't there some family or friend, a close girlfriend or a guy, somebody that said, girl,
I did have people to tell me you shouldn't. But, you know, being the type of woman that I am, I do things on my own terms, the way how I want it, and I just refuse to believe that this person is this way, and I know that he can change if he chooses to. Yes, I saw the signs. I did. But, like
okay.
I said, love will blind all the time.
Wow. You know, Ms. Blake, I'm going to throw this out there. I hope I'm not that blind to say, you know, for so long.
It happens, Dr. Walker. It really doesn't dwell in the audience.
I did not hold that one.
I had shackles on my eyes. Yes, I did.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we're so thankful that eventually you got them off. Let's go to the phone lines. We're going to go to the 212-828 Plank, New York. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live. Who do we have with us?
This is Angela Dupree.
Angela Dupree, thank you for joining us. Can you help us make some sense of tonight's story with Neville and Olinda, or would you like to speak to the issue of what our featured guest, Alina, has presented?
I missed what you said about the special guest, but I think I caught a little bit of what you were saying about the story. I actually think that people are in set up marriages or set up relationships, and I know that happens a lot here in New York where you have people who hook up just because they have benefits. Now, as far as the husband, I think he probably either lusts her or that's someone he really wanted to be with, regardless of how she treated him. So he accepted everything that happened to him with her because that's how bad he wanted her.
Should anyone feel sorry for Neville? I mean, you know, all the warning signs were there. Should someone feel sorry, in your opinion, Angela, should someone feel sorry for him?
Myself? Personally, no, I wouldn't feel sorry for him because I don't think he's growing. I just think he's just going along with the norm, you know. So, no, I don't feel sorry for him.
I see. Okay. Selena, let me ask you, do you feel sorry for Neville in this situation? I mean, 2 years and he's throwing in the towel. He didn't wait, you know, all those other years.
In the way I do, in the way I don't. I feel sorry for him because he loved this woman, and he wanted, mm-hmm. I guess, to spend the rest of his life with her. However, just like me, if he saw the signs and did not do anything about it, then, no, I don't feel sorry. Even when I look back on my situation, I can kick myself in the behind plenty of times because I was a fool, but love is blind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Dr. Walker.
Yeah.
If I may chime in as co-host. One of the things that I talk about frequently in my book, because I try to bring people to the same revelation, and we've all, well, I shouldn't say we've all been there, but I've been there myself, and tell people, don't be hard on yourself. Don't, because the heart is, it's not always ruled by rationale. And I think the important thing is that you wake up and you recognize it and you do something about it when you wake up, that you don't continue to stay in the situation.
Yeah, it took me 7 years to wake up.
Wow.
It takes time.
Yeah, that was too long. I should have woken up within 2 or 3 years, but not almost 18, 19 years. No, that's too long of me being asleep.
Wow. That is interesting. All right, let's go to the phone lines now. We're going to go to, looks like, North Carolina. We're going to go to 919-875. Thank you for joining the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live. Who do we have with us this evening? We're in North Carolina, 919-875. All right, looks like another number we're not going to be able to get to. Maybe some technical difficulties. The producers will work with that now. Let me ask this question. Ms. Blake, what do you think caused people to, other than love, the love is blind? And I heard that Angela Dupree mentioned that sometimes it's select relationships or relationships of convenience where people come together because maybe even economics. I mean, what causes someone to be in a relationship for so long other than the blindness, in your opinion?
You know, in unhealthy relationships you're referring to?
Yeah.
It's multiple reasons. Economics sometimes is one, and I've actually seen some of those relationships become healthy over time in marriage situations because the person didn't leave simply because they couldn't leave financially. But also there is sometimes this persona that people want to put out that they have the love story. They have the perfect relationship. And so all those things may actually be a living hell. They want to put out in the public that they're great, and sometimes they don't want people to see that the people who advised them against it were actually right.
Right. That's a very good point that you mentioned there. Let me ask Angela Dupree, do you believe that I'm just going to throw it out there. Do you think Olinda, is any different from any other woman out there when it comes to her lifestyle? I mean, she wanted to get her nails done, her hair done, her feet done on a weekly basis, and the man was already working two jobs. She's high maintenance and materialistic. Do you think that she sets the tone or stays for most women?
No, definitely not, because I can't get my nails done and my hair done every week. I've been married for 17 years, and I feel like I would do those things myself. I pamper myself. I buy the necessary things to do it myself. So I can have a little extra dollars in my pocket for something else. So, no, she don't set the tone.
She doesn't set the tone. All right.
Dr. Walker, I want to chime in.
You
know.
Okay, go ahead.
High maintenance if you want to. I don't care. In fact, my friend recently told me that you're a diva, and I actually said, you know, I'm actually not insulted. But the difference is I work and make the money so I can do those things. Now, if I was in an economically depraved situation, well, no, that'll be the first to go. And I'm not saying I get that maintenance done every week, but, you know, some women just do what they want to look good or feel good.
Uh-huh.
It may not be hair and nails. It might be yoga classes. It could be, I don't know, something in the church. You know, but you should not put an undue burden on your mate. That's when you get crazy, in my opinion.
And that is so true. That is so true. So Go ahead. And I can relate to that, because if you got one party that is always working, always doing, always providing, and you have the other spouse that you're looking forward to help and give you a helping hand, it gets to a point where you get tired. You might as well be by yourself and do it alone.
Right. Okay. Let me ask this question out there. Angela Dupree, I want to ask you this question. Do you think Neville was high on something when he married her? Do you think he was on something? I mean, it was all of these signs came up. Or do you think she camouflaged enough to get him?
No, I don't think he was high. I think he knew exactly what he was getting into because most women want a white trophy, so he got what he paid for. That's my opinion. I want to say this. I'm so independent. I've been working since I was 17. And, yes, I have money where I feel as though I can pamper myself every week. But what I will say is that I have pampered my husband, took him to the nail salon and got his feet done, and other women are sitting there looking like, really? Like the whole place will be full of women, and he'll be the only guy. And I would drop him off, pay the person to whatever service he wants, and keep it moving. But I've never been that type of person where I felt as though I needed to have my hair done or my nails done or my toes done. I just didn't grow up that way. I grew up doing it myself. So,
But you don't mind at least showing your husband that you love him enough, that you want to pamper him sometimes. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. I pamper him a lot.
You pamper him a lot. Miss Blake, I want you to speak to that issue. And then, Selena, I want you, we all may have some bitterness in us from past relationships, previous current relationships, whatever the case is. But how important is it, in your opinion, that both parties be pampered by each other on a regular basis?
Well, you know, that's what my book is all about, M-E, mutual enhancement. You know, I often say to women now, because I don't want anybody to get it twisted, you know.
Right.
There may be certain things that I like to happen, but there are certain things that I will absolutely do for my man because he is king, you know. So, you know, my job is to make sure he's happy. So it's a mutual thing. And I often say to women who said, oh, I want a man to do this and that for me, and I'm like, oh, what are you doing? You know,
absolutely.
So I agree.
Okay, let me interfere for a second. Okay, now, since you mentioned that as far as taking care of your man and to do everything to keep him happy, then what is he doing for you to keep you happy?
Well, it's going to be a gift.
That was my problem. I was treating him like a king. Cook, clean, wash, pamper, anything that he wanted, he got it. No question asked. But when it came down to paying the bills, pampering me, taking me out, wine and dine me, I'm the one that is doing all those things. And I got tired of it.
Well, you know, if I may just say, you were in, that was not the man for you. That wasn't the man. That's
no,
the problem.
No, exactly. No, he
yeah,
wasn't.
That was not the man. That was not the man for you because, and let me tell you something, if it's based on what you're saying, if the accuracy of that, if these are the things that a woman is doing where she's really pampering that man, a real man is not likely, you know, to let a woman like that go. He's not likely to mess with
her. I left. I was gone fast, quick in a hurry, because I got
right,
tired.
Right. But what I'm saying is he's, you know, a real man, and I say this with all respect. You know, this was not the man for you, because a real man who's come to the realization of maturity would understand that, you know what, this is the ideal. That's what the man wants. He wants to be able to express himself to his wife without repercussions of residual effects. He wants her to be able to pamper him sometimes, to think about his emotions. Men do have emotions. Men get upset just like a woman gets upset. We may not hold it as long, but a man wants these things. And so when you're given these, I can assure you, that man will miss you for the rest of his life. Give me your thoughts, Miss.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, you know, I commend our special guest for making that decision and realizing the value, the wonderful jewel that you are. Because a lot of times men, and sometimes it's the woman, it's not just a male thing.
Right.
And realize the jewel that they have, the valuable possession in their presence.
Right, and let me just say this here. Angela Dupree, how important is it what we're saying tonight that the woman has, and I heard you concluding with your last statement, that you pamper your husband often. Why is that so important? And I understand you all have been married for a number of years. Why is that so important?
Well, I would say that he loves pampering me also, but
right.
I sort of hesitate and refuse it because I'm always counting the dollars and making sure that it's spent in the right places. So I don't go and get my nails done and my hair done like I should, but when I do, I can't keep him off me. He's all over the place. So I know that once he pampers me and I, you know, look my best, have my hair done, my nails done, my eyebrows arched, you know my husband wants me, regardless of the pampering.
Okay. And that's very important in your relationship that you, it sounds like, you chances are you may not have read Ms. Blake's book, but it sounds like you're doing the mutual enhancement, meaning both parties are satisfying each other. And that's what relationships really are all about. Let me go to some of these comments that are coming into the studio. You're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Tonight's topic, should you stay in a one-sided relationship? We have our featured guest this evening, Selena, who after 17 years decided enough is enough. Now let's take a look at some of the comments that have come in. This comes from a young lady. She says, should you stay in a one-sided relationship? The fast or short answer to this question, she says, is an emphatical no. I mean, who would want to stay in a relationship where only one person is getting what they want versus a relationship where both parties can be happy? Selena, speak to that. I mean, is she right
that,
on point?
She's on point. She is on point. I was in the situation for a long time. It took me 7 years to come to a conclusion. I have to leave because I was going crazy.
Wow. So when it's over, it's over. Let me go to the phone lines real quick. We're going to go to 919-875. Are you there? North Carolina. Okay, we're not there again. Okay, we're still having some difficulty with some of the lines trying to get in this evening. Okay, let's take a look and see. Let's go to this mail. He writes in regarding tonight's program, should you stay in a one-sided relationship? I think being in a one-sided relationship is also another form of abuse. I was in a relationship for 3 years where the woman would always make it about herself. When it came to my feelings or concerns, I always got the short end of the stick. Furthermore, I have concluded that women are more likely to make it about them than men. This in itself is always going to be a problem for any relationship. Let me ask Selena, what do you think about this? Then I want to go to Angela Dupree and Ms. Blake, we're going to come to you. Selena, what do you think about this comment, this male right in there? He's giving another point of view here, saying women have a tendency to make it about themselves, you know, more so than men do. And he says this is always going to be a problem. What do you think about that?
No, that's not true because it goes both ways. Because if I take care of you, I'm going to expect you to take care of me too. It goes both ways, but he can't say that.
Okay, all right. Let me go over to Angela Dupree. What do you think? Do you think that women are more likely to make it about themselves versus men making it about themselves? Okay, wait a minute. We're not able to hear her. Let me go back to her and ask her the question again. Angela Dupree, go ahead.
Yes, I think they do because I've sat with a group of women who have boyfriends. Majority of them are married, and when they see the things that I do with my husband, I get, like, surprise looks. And then I'll jokingly say, yeah, I'll do it for my man. He's my man. He takes care of me. Why can't I do the same thing for him? And a lot of women really believe it's about them. They don't think that they have to put the work in with their man. And most of them don't have good relationships because they think it's about them.
All right. Ms. Blake, what do you think? We've got varying opinions here. We've got Selena saying that, you know, she don't think the guy's comments are true. And, of course, Angela Dupree is feeling that, you know, from her experience, she gets the looks. And she feels that it is true. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are that it goes both ways. It does not have to do with the gender as much as the individual personality. I mean, selfish, if you're selfish, you're just selfish. It doesn't matter what your gender is. So that's really a sign of selfishness. Now, on the other hand, speaking from a personal standpoint, I do set the tone. I make it known. I'm still dating, so I'm one of those people that's been married before, and I now am happily dating. And so you set the standard and you set the tone, but at the same time, you remember it's not about you. It's about mutual enhancement. And so you figure out what is it that your significant other or spouse loves, and you do it, and you don't care about what other people think because they're not in the relationship.
I think that is so noble. That is, I mean, I really appreciate this broadcast tonight, what you all are saying here, because I think now it's getting to a time where things are starting to change. I believe that there are women out there who genuinely start to understand that men do have emotions and men do want to be pampered. And it's no longer just about one gender. You know, both parties have got to, when one party is offended, it becomes the business of that party who has offended them to make amends. Wouldn't you all agree with that?
Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah, you know, you make amends, and you make those amends quickly. And no longer are even women looking at their friends, their girlfriends, and saying, uh-uh, girl, don't be mad at that man for them two and 3 days. Uh-uh. Because life is short, and then the man is just not always sticking around. Because men have gotten to a point, and these are the conversations that men are having now, they're tired of always having to say, honey, what's wrong? That's
you know what, Dr. Walker?
Yeah, go ahead.
Of America, women aren't sticking around either.
No, I know, and I realize that. I realize that. And you know what? I mean, it's almost as if everybody's just being recycled and going to the different places. But guess what? Because there's only the Homo sapiens, we can't go and date bears and tigers and lions. You understand? So we just recycle ourselves to another relationship. You stay in that relationship for a period of time, and it's a matter of time. But eventually, you know, we've had a show, should marriage even come or dating come with an expiration date? It's just going to get to the point where you're going to get fed up with something. And you know what happens?
Right.
Because there was not a foundation that was laid, you know, a friendship and a foundation and honesty and truth. Those things that compile the integrity and dignity in a person to know that I'm not going to do this to my mate because this is going to hurt them. My mate is that priority. That person becomes first before everybody else. Now, let me ask you, based on what I'm saying, Angela Dupree, it sounds like that's where your marriage is, where that man is first and foremost. Aside from God, that person is first and foremost. And sounds like he makes you first and foremost. Is that the way it is in your marriage?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And does that make your marriage so strong? Why? I mean, what makes your marriage so solidified?
It definitely makes it strong. And, you know, because, I mean, just listening to other people when they see us together, I've had people come up to me and say, I mean, friends of ours that they envy our relationship. They've seen us in our bad times and in our good times, but then they see us come back together. You know, we can have an argument 5 minutes, and then 10 minutes later we're back to talking, and they're looking at me like, how can y'all do that? And I'm like, because that's the person I love. I'm not arguing to hurt them. I'm arguing for the moment.
And that's how it's supposed to be. You should be able to argue and still come together and talk and still be friends and still love one another. So that's good.
Right.
Well, I want to say another.
You know, so many people. I'm sorry, go ahead. I wanted to say another thing.
Now, I've been around all different ages of couples. And the thing that I see the most is young people are getting into sexual relationships first before they build that foundation. Just like you said, they don't get to know each other as friends. You know, they don't go on dates and stuff. They have sex first. And then they try to make a relationship out of that. And that plays a big part in why things go downhill, basically. It only lasts a couple months, and then they move on to the next person. But they're still doing the same thing every time they get into a new relationship. They're starting it off as a sexual thing instead of meeting somebody, going to have a drink. I mean, I go out with these people, too, now, and they're like, they can't believe that I'm out without my husband, or I actually went to a strip club with my husband for his birthday, and they couldn't believe that I was there with him. And I'm like, why wouldn't I be? He's
and why not?
Me.
Right, right. Exactly.
We like the same thing.
Because you know what? When he goes home, he's going to wear you out from where he's been.
Thank you.
And I think that's why he and I get along so well.
That's awesome.
That passion is here. And we're going to have a show talking about passion. Oh, we got a number of upcoming shows. You all don't want to miss. Let's go to the phone lines real quickly here. We're going to go to 786-985. You're on the Dr. Jess Walker Show. Who do we have with us this evening?
Miss X.
Thank you for joining us, Miss X. Miss X, we are live here, and this is a hot show. Should you stay in a one-sided relationship? Give us your thoughts on that.
No, I don't think that anybody should subject themselves to a one-sided relationship, especially where one person is doing all of the giving and the other is taking all of the taking. I think that there should be a 50-50. And when you have a relationship like that where where the relationship is not one-sided, it makes it so much easier for one or the other person to take the initiative. Because I know a lot of times the complaint is, you don't take the initiative. I always have to go to you in order to, you know, find out what your needs and wants are. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes come to me.
Yes.
So, you know, that's why I think that it's good to not have a one-sided relationship, because it enhances so many other aspects of a relationship.
Okay, what about, Ms. A, let me ask you this question with you saying that. What about where in the traditional or the old-fashioned way where the woman waited on the man to initiate things? I mean, has that time, is that a thing of the past now, and are women missing out because they're waiting for the man to initiate something?
Yep, I think those days are gone. Where they say chivalry is dead. It may not be in every instance, but it appears to be in a lot of instances. I was listening to the young lady who was saying that even nowadays the women initiate the relationship by having sexual encounters first.
Right.
Maybe they think that that is what's going to lend the men to them, when actually I think that's all he can see. He sees them as, you know, from that respect, from that angle. I don't know that it helps to build on anything.
Okay. Miss X, we're going to ask you to stand by. Selena, our featured guest is here. Let me ask you this question. What advice, if any, would you give, a couple of things here, a couple of pointers, for somebody who's in a one-sided relationship and they just don't have the strength to get out? What advice would you give them, if any?
To me, first pray. And ask God to give you the faith to walk out on courage, and to seek counsel and to seek counseling, because that's what I did. I went to counseling first. I did my part of me being a good wife. Went to counseling, talk it out, had an open communication, hoping that by me expressing myself, that he will see the hurt in me and change. And then come to find out there were some issues that he was dealing with that he wasn't ready to let go. And if I would have known that prior to getting married, I wouldn't have.
Okay. Let me ask this question then. Ms. Blake, you want to come in on anything?
Yeah, I think that's exactly what I would have said. Is, you know, particularly if you're married, I think relationships are a little different because you have more of an open-endedness. But a marriage is a vow and a commitment, a deeper level of commitment, I should say. So, yeah, I would definitely try to work it out first. And then if it's not working, then you've got to sit down and kind of make a list of why you are so valuable, because you need to know your own worth, first of all, and then
absolutely.
Pray for the strength to get treated the way you should be treated.
I like what you're saying, and I can appreciate the comments that have come in here tonight and the dialogue that we're having, because, you know, everybody deserves the best for their own lives, and you deserve, you know, integrity. You uphold your integrity, your dignity, regardless of whatever else is going on. And someday the right relationship will come along. It may take some time, it may take a while. But I believe, and I believe this wholeheartedly, that somewhere along the way, God is always working out that person for you. And you have no idea where they may be coming from. And I love the realistic views that are presented on tonight's broadcast. Let me go here and ask Selena this question here. What, if anything, would you, I mean, how about Neville? What hope, if any, would you give him? Let's just say in this situation here, what hope would you give Neville? I mean, he's out here apparently brokenhearted after 2 years of marriage, the woman of his dreams perhaps. And now this guy is just, you know, he's probably going to be depressed for a while.
If she's not willing to see the hurt in him, and if she's not able to stop her of her being selfish and not taking care of his needs, then he needs to move on and have a peace of mind and be happy.
You know, that's such an important statement that you just made. If that person can't, the significant other, whether it's male or female, they can't see the hurt in you. When something has offended you, when something has hurt you to the core, you know, if they can't see that, then something is wrong with that person. It's like a coldness. I mean, Ms. Blake, speak to that. You know, when a person just can't seem to fathom your pain, your hurt, your suffering, and they just ignore that. What comes to your mind when something like that goes on?
Well, then, you know, it would cause me to question that person's love because it's all about love. And love will feel your pain. Love will understand it. And if love does not initially understand it, be it male or female, love will seek to understand it. So they won't disregard it.
I agree with that fully. Let me go to Angela Dupree. Angela, I believe you have something that you want to say here. If that person, your significant other, who is supposed to be your other half, if they cannot feel your pain and want to make a change, what would you tell them? What's going on? And I agree with Blake, too. The love becomes questioned.
Well, I was thinking about everything everybody was saying, and I'm only speaking based on the people that I'm around all the time, the young ladies that I'm around. For one, most of these young ladies don't go to church, so they don't know where their place is as far as what God wants them to be in life.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, in the sex thing that I mentioned before, a lot of them in sexual relationships, they don't know what to expect or what's expected of them. So I'm just trying to collect my words because I had a whole lot of things that I wanted to say, and then when you come to me, I forget. I think you should come back to me because I done lost my train of thought,
we'll
and I can't
that.
Remember half
okay,
of
so I would like to say something.
And that is,
ever since we became independent women and survivors, it's almost as if though the men say, well, you know what, then you do it. You take care of it yourself. I think that's why in these relationships, especially where our young women are concerned, I mean, the things that when I came along that men just were expected to do or they knew what they had to do in order to gain and garner the attention of the woman, the young women don't even know, first of all, how to ask for what they want. And then when they do, I think, decide to ask for what they want, then the guys turn it into something else in order to disenfranchise them, you know. A one-sided love affair, if somebody is not loving me in the same respect or manner that I'm loving them in, I just don't see how you can even allow yourself to stay in a relationship like that. I'm loving you, and you're probably loving somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And that's
but I think it started when, yeah, so.
That's ridiculous. We're gonna
I think the young women need to be taught, somehow they need to have a class or something, because it's all about their bodies now. It's all about what's showing. It's all about the tattoos. It's all about the butt cracks. It's all about a lot of things that, you know, even though they say men find it desirable, you know, I wonder.
And I agree.
Absolutely. Selena, just before you go, the producers are sending me a message. They'd like to have a part two of this broadcast in about 3 weeks. Would you come back to our show at that time?
Sure.
Okay,
awesome.
All right, so we'll have a part two of this here. Let me go now and ask this question. I've been wanting to ask this question, and let me start out with Selena and asking this question. Do you think that tonight's story with Olinda and Neville, do you think any of her attitude or her behavior has to do with the fact that she's never been married, she's 41, never been married, and has no children? Do you think any of that may contribute to her behavior?
I think it does because she don't have nobody else to take care of but herself.
Okay.
And if she's never been married or never been exposed on how to love somebody or learn how to give and take, she wouldn't focus on herself all the time of just being me, 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 and not knowing that she has a husband now that she had to take into consideration of his feelings and his thoughts.
Okay, I think that's an interesting point. Go ahead.
She's selfish because it's always about her. She probably don't have any siblings. She might be the only child. And being the only child, you have so much coming towards you without you having to share anything with anybody.
Right. I find that people who that are older, over 37, in a lot of cases, and of course not all, and Ms. Blake, we're going to ask you to speak briefly to that as well. We're going to try to finish up some of these comments that have come in. But people who have, whether it's men or women, both genders, if they have never been married, they're over 37, and the older they become, without ever having been married or having any children that they were responsibly taken care of, I find that to be almost like a selfish nature about them. And there are men and women who are even saying these days, "Oh, if he's over 40, he's never been married, and he has no children, I don't want to date him." And men are saying the same thing. "Oh, she's over 40, she's never been married, has no children. Oh no." Because they have seen the selfishness in them. Speak to that issue, Ms. Blake. What do you think?
That is one of the things that happens. But also, I still go back to personality. And definitely what Selena said, being an only child does contribute. I'm laughing. But I think it has to do with personality, of who that person is.
All right.
I think sometimes it goes back to nature versus nurture. Maybe in that person's childhood, they did not receive in the same type. Maybe there was one parent missing, or maybe both parents were there. They didn't see the nurturing going on between their parents, so they never learned how to be a nurturer.
Yes, she hit it right on the spot.
Okay.
That's true.
All right. Go ahead. Let's go to Angela Dupree. Are you back with us? Go ahead.
I'm back. Yes, she hit it right on the spot. A lot of these young ladies have moms and their dads not around, and a lot of the mothers aren't teaching their daughters to become wives. Most of them are teaching their daughters how to become gold diggers. You better go out there and get that money or whatever they can from that guy. So I see a lot of this living in the city, where some of these young ladies, they don't think that they're ever going to get married. When you ask them stuff like that, it's like, "No, I don't need to have a husband."
Wow, that is very interesting. That is very interesting. Is it coming down to that, Selena, today, that people feel that they don't need that other, the significant other?
It all depends on the individual. It all depends on the female itself. I mean, me, you know, growing up in the country, I'm the only child. I mean, my mother had me spoiled rotten before she passed away. But I knew how to. I knew how to love. I knew how to give. I knew how to treat somebody because I want somebody to treat me with respect and kindness, too. And sometimes people take that, your kindness, for weakness.
They do, oftentimes. Yes. I agree with that.
You know,
that.
Dr. Walker, I think it boils down to that person knowing their value and their worth. And this story really wasn't about a female. It was really about the male.
Who is it?
So in this case, to allow himself to be neglected and mistreated.
I agree. And the story is not just about agenda. None of the stories really are. It just so happened. I mean, it can go any of these stories that are presented over here. And, of course, they're all inspired by true stories. But any of them can go either way, male or female. So we are never picking on one gender. And my co-host here is quick to remind me of that.
Really? Because
okay.
We're hard on the ladies.
Another thing.
Yes, go ahead.
Yes.
Yeah, another thing is that it's kind of difficult when you look around and you see these mothers. Some of the mothers are quite young also today. But, you know, when you've got several different kids in one household with the last names of several different fathers, you wonder what can that mother tell her daughter about being in a loving and nurturing relationship. What can she teach her daughter when she has not been in a loving, nurturing relationship if she's had to have so many different men fathering so many children in one household?
Let me say this. So what about the men, what about the boys growing up who never had a male figure in the family to teach them how to be men and to teach them how to be
a
woman?
And also, what is it when the son looks at the fact that mom has had all these different men but nobody stays? What kind of image does he grow up with? What does that teach him?
Again, I'm going to come at y'all differently. I think it depends on the child. I've seen some strong single mothers, and I've been married and I've been single as a mom. And so I just caution us to be a little careful with our assumptions, because that mother may be able to teach those kids what not to do.
We're not talking about the fact that it's a single parent, because I was a single parent. But the thing is, I'm saying a parent, a mother who has been involved in several different relationships where she has fathered children from several different men. And you're right, she may be able to tell them, well, I don't want you to be like me. I want you to be. But remember, this is the image that the child is growing up, and this is what they are
children
seeing.
Children learn what they learn. That's a good point. Before we go on to rebuttal, I've got some more comments, and we're only about 90 seconds out of here. So I will call on maybe one or two people to answer this here. Selena, we'll start with you first. This comes from a male. He says, his comment is, I think when we are younger, we stay in a relationship that may not be healthy because we are often attracted by the outer appearance of someone. As we mature, I think we begin to think differently because we now have experience when it comes to relationships. Unfortunately, my own experience has brought me to the point of thinking that not everyone changes for the better. Some people continue to make the relationships all about themselves, which causes a greater problem in the long run, especially for the selfish person in the relationship. How true is that? In the long run, that person who's selfish, is it going to be a problem for them throughout life?
Because they don't know. I agree, because they don't know how to love and give love back in return. They don't know anything about learning how to give. They always take, but you got to give as well. In my situation, it was always him taking, and never giving me nothing back
Return. Never giving.
Only when he wanted to. And that was the problem. I left.
We've got about 60 seconds. Quickly, Ms. Blake here for this female. She says, as a female, I would always have to agree that I think we as women make it about us, which I had to learn the hard way when my second husband, she says here, when my second husband left me. Now at 53, I'm having it very hard to find a really good man. I wish I could turn back the hands of time, because loneliness can be a monster. Ms. Blake, speak to that. She says that, hey, here it is.
Well, what I would just advise her is don't be hard on yourself. I tell everybody that. And you can always begin again. 53 is not the end, because 50 is fabulous. So just learn from the past and keep it moving. You know, look forward to it.
I like that. Angela Dupree, we're going to give you, if you're still listening with us, we're going to give you this one here, this shot. And please, you got 15 seconds on it. This female writes in, she says, I must say that I am very thankful for the husband that I have in my life. We had our initial problems with this very issue of one-sidedness, and after several weeks of communications on a trial-and-effort basis, we finally got it right. What we came to realize is if you put your significant other's needs first with an intrinsic desired outcome, you're both likely to make our relationship about each other. Ms. Dupree, real quickly here, what do you think? Is she on point?
Yes, I agree. because I will admit, when I was younger, I was selfish and did think about myself. Well, no, I might be fibbing a little bit. I've always thought about others before me, but I agree with what she said. Once we come together and put each other's needs first before ourselves, then, yes, we grow together.
I like that. Selena, it has been a pleasure having you on here. We look forward to you coming back in about 3 weeks. I mean, we just, and we apologize, we could not get to everybody tonight. It's always a joy to have my co-host, Ms. Audrey Blake, author of Falling in Love with Me, Mutual Enhancement. It's just great. You all, this was a great dialogue. We are out of time. They're sending me threatening warnings now to get off the air. So, listen, thank you all. And, you know, if you choose to check us out this Friday night for your half-hour inspirational program, of course you choose to bypass Friday night, join us again next Tuesday when we'll have returning with us strategies to survive infidelity in your relationship. Mr. and Mrs. Dupree will be joining us for that show. Until then, everybody, it's been a pleasure. I say to you all, good night, God bless, and thank you for time.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.